This episode of the Quick Pop Podcast is fueled by Ball's Guarana Soda. Ball's Guarana is a highly caffeinated premium soda that is infused with the natural guarana berry for an incredible taste and a super caffeinated kick. Ball's has fueled the days and nights of gamers and wrestling fans alike for over 25 years. Ball's Guarana is available in 7 amazing flavors, including Ball's Original Soda, Cherry, Root Beer, Orange, Ginger Ale, Cherry Cola, and Ball's Zero Sugar. Flavors are offered in the iconic 10-ounce bumpy bottle or the sleek 16-ounce can. For a limited time, Ball's will offer listeners free shipping on your next order when you purchase at www.balls.com. Use code QUICKPOP at checkout to receive free shipping on your order.
Hey, all you cool cats. We're going to do some spoken word here today. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. It's WrestleMania. Fighting just to save our lives. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. It's WrestleMania. Yeah. And it's the Quick Pop Podcast. And everyone, this is the Quick Pop Podcast, as I just said, in spoken word form. For all you jazzy, cool, hip cats, I'm Jake. Ace is here. Ron's here. All three of us are here. And of course we are, because we just had the biggest wrestling weekend of my life, your life, Ron's life, Ace's life, the guy down the street's life, your dog's life, your newborn child, if you're me, you know, his life. Biggest one ever, guys. Guys, how y'all doing?
What about a bug's life?
Oh, it's the this was the biggest one of a bug's life.
Nice. What about the more adult movie Ants?
No, it's not the biggest one of Ants life, because we know Ants is more adult, so we know what Ants be doing. So no, it's not the greatest one of the Ants. No, no. How about Baby's Day Out? Was it the biggest one for Baby's Day Out, do you think?
It might be the one for Baby's Day Out, but what about the one for Dunstan Checks In?
Oh, yeah, no, this was definitely the best WrestleMania for Dunstan Checks In. Dunstan messed with this WrestleMania hard. Dunstan was all about this WrestleMania. Do you think, what about Home Alone? Do you think this was the biggest WrestleMania if you were Home Alone?
No, but it was a WrestleMania for hotel workers all across the Macaulay Culkin.
I would agree with that, Ron. The Macaulay Culkin hotel workers, they were a big part of this WrestleMania.
Just single-handedly serving Brenda Song the entire weekend. Macaulay Culkin got a nice little hotel costume. And then started serving his wife like all across the resort this weekend.
Ron, why is it that I know what you're saying is probably true, but you saying Macaulay Culkin servicing his wife all this weekend just sounds dirty. Like, I know what you're referring to, but it just sounds dirty when you say it.
It happens like that, man. I mean,
it does. It does. What are we doing? What are we talking about?
No, I think we're talking about, basketball. I think we're talking about basketball.
A terrible segue.
I mean, you asked.
I did ask. The league did end. I thwarted Ron to keep Ron at the lowly fourth place.
It okay.
And
but
Ace,
wait, if you thwarted Ace, me, yeah. what does that say for you? If I was your final match,
that I got third place. I just spoke it wrong. You're not listening.
I'm not.
Yeah, good on you.
I only listen to champions.
Okay, well, none of those are here. None of those are here. Not in that league. Hey, we're just talking about that league. We're talking about that league. None of those champions are here. You want to go me to go get a Mamacita?
There are some champions here in this podcast.
Not in basketball. We have third place, and we have.
I'm not talking about basketball anymore. Didn't you get the memo? Didn't you get the memo?
I know. I am deliberately thwarting you from talking about the Quick Pop Pick'em champion,
which is Ace.
Which is Ace. Which
There's
is
the good stuff.
Which is Ace.
Yeah, welcome kicking off season seven.
Welcome to season seven.
Yeah,
and you know what the best part
about this season, we're talking about Dunstan checks in, guys, so get ready.
And you know what the best part about this is? Not only am I your Quick Pop Pick'em champion, I am also your Quick Pop Money in the Bank briefcase holder as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. Are you going to cash in on yourself? Are you going to
cash in on myself? And I'm going to have one question
for you.
No, I got
to
make it.
Whenever it's my time to like do questions, y'all are beefed. Y'all are beefed.
Oh god.
You gave Ron like the instinct, the narrative, the necessity.
Oh, no. I already know how this is going to go. Ron's going to be like, there was a six-pack Hell in a Cell challenge. I'm like, okay, I got to know all six guys. And he's like, what was the order they were eliminated in? Go.
What brand lock did they use on the door?
Yeah, Ron will be like, in the first Hell in a Cell match, they used bolt cutters to cut the chain so Undertaker and Michaels could fight outside the ring. What brand?
What gauge was the...
Or it'll be like a referee cut it. Who's the ref? How many stripes did he have on his shirt?
How old is his youngest child?
At WrestleMania 1, how many false finishes was in the third match?
How old is Nicholas right now?
Why do I have a feeling that Ron is literally writing down? He's like, I'm going to find out.
No. Why have like a sheet of paper and a pen or pencil when I have a computer right in front of me that I can use?
Typing it down, writing it down, whatever. Sidebar. Also, guys, it's season seven.
It is season seven.
It's season seven.
And, you know, we like to add new fancy things in. So, guys, I now have the gimmick of our podcast. Ron, you gave it to me with our opening segment. What we're going to do, loser of the week? No, what we're going to do is we're going to contact wrestlers, indie, big, local, WWE, AEW, everybody, to come on our podcast. But we're not going to interview them. We're going to invite them onto our podcast and then have watch-alongs with random kids' movies such as Dunstan Checks In and Baby's Day Out.
All right, I'm down.
That's the new gimmick of this podcast. It's like, hey, Swerve Strickland, do you want to come on? Yeah, I'll come on. What do y'all want to talk about? Like
Jungle to Jungle?
Do you want to talk about AEW's upcoming pay-per-view? Nah, bro. That ain't what's about to happen.
We're going to watch the Santa Claus.
We're going to watch, but not one, because you remember that one. We're watching, like, Santa Claus 3.
Oh, God.
We're watching, Jack Frost with Michael Keaton.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, don't test me on random BS 90s movies. I got you, man.
No, I know.
I can pull them out.
Yeah, no. You just, you know, just it just appears.
It just appears. Yep, you give me 60 seconds, I can just pop out about 10 90s movies just in a quick pop.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to give you four little topics. This is the Quick Pop Quick Minute.
This is a Quick Pop Quick Minute.
Wrestling legend Mick Foley is calling off his final match. Originally dedicated to wrestling one more time on his 60th birthday, plans have been called off due to recent health issues, as well as an unknown concussion he had. Announcing legend Michael Buffer gave his flowers to ring announcer Samantha Irvin for her work during WrestleMania weekend. Michael Buffer was at one point the pinnacle of announcing with stints in boxing, fighting, and wrestling. The Mark Hitchcock Memorial Super Show that was at WrestleCon this year is now available for streaming for all High Spots TV subscribers. The show featured the likes of Josh Alexander, Matt Riddle, Nick Nemeth, and many others. And finally, wrestling legend Sabu decided to no-show his own induction into the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame this weekend. Claimed by GCW owner Brett Lauderdale, Sabu kept his deposit and no-showed the event, stating that he didn't want to get into the elevator and come upstairs for the event. And this is your Quick Pop Quick Minute.
That is the most Sabu thing I've ever heard.
Right?
Just like, I didn't want to go upstairs.
Yeah, no, he was in the building.
That's what makes it even better. He got there and he was like, I gotta use an elevator? Y'all have like a ladder I could climb?
He's just like, I'm not doing it.
I imagine Sabu would have done it if he was allowed to like climb like a ladder.
Nah, I don't think Sabu would have done it. It just adds to the mystique. The mystique of the legendary Sabu.
Oh, Sabu.
Right? What are we talking about today?
I think we're talking about...
There's this weird little event that happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
The Mark Hitchcock Memorial Super Show. Oh, yeah.
I thought we were talking about March Madness. Are we not talking about...
We were talking about Bloodsport.
I thought we were talking about Caitlin Clark. What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. No. Crazy, right?
Listen, we got to get into... WrestleMania, but yes, I could spend this whole podcast talking about the men's and women's Final Four.
Considering you were almost on night one.
Yeah, I was keeping up with the score. Yes, I was.
You'd be watching and all of a sudden you'd be like, 2-point game.
I wasn't watching it. I was just watching the score. I was just looking up the score. But I may have DVR'd.
Yeah, no, that I was like that a couple years ago. I think it was like the Game of Thrones finale, but it kind of coincided with a pay-per-view. I don't remember what pay-per-view it was, but I was going like back and forth with it because I was like,
done that occasionally.
Game of Thrones final season was horrible.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah.
You know, but I still watched it.
You know what wasn't horrible? WrestleMania 40.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I think I saw someone else say it, and so like I don't know if I said it first or they said it first, but I haven't enjoyed a WrestleMania start to finish this much since like 30. I think 30 was the last like start to finish that I really enjoyed.
There were a couple matches that I didn't like.
Agreed.
Like, well, they weren't all like top tier bangers. Let me clarify.
Oh no, definitely not. Some of them kind of let's just say jaked the bed.
Well, I will say the ones that I'm
Jake
confident that
the
were
bed.
Probably...
Oh, I heard that, Ron. And even though I lost the championship, you still came in last place for the Pick'ems. So let's move on.
No. Don't twist that around. No.
Last in the Pick'ems, sir.
I was behind by one.
You came in last.
You came in last. He's looking.
I am looking.
You jaked the bed.
You jaked the bed.
Now, I'm paranoid, so I'm looking too.
No, I already had it pulled up.
You did?
Sure. But anyway, we talking about Mania or not? We're going to be here for 4 hours.
No.
You accuse me of being last place. So, we're here to tell you you're jaking up the bed again.
Cool. I'll jake the bed all night.
Dude, that sounds really dirty coming from you.
It really does.
Guys, you are the one that made the phrase. So you have to ask yourself, if it sounds dirty, how did you mean the original phrase?
So WrestleMania, that happened, right? That was cool.
It was okay. It was a good Mania. I think night one was better than night two. Night two just had the better ending, or had a really good ending, I should say.
I enjoyed night two over night one.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I thought night one was way better. In fact, I was going to mention that I think WWE has started a trend where night one is better than night two. Night two just always has the match you want to see the most.
No, night one had the match I wanted to see the most. And, like, honestly, it's very close for me between night one and night two.
What was the match you want to see the most? The tag match?
Yeah, Rock Reigns, Rhodes Rollins.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But I just, I thought night one was better. Okay, let's do this. I mean, we don't need to go into every single match. Why did you think night two was better, Ron?
I think it was a more well-built show, except for like one match. It was fantastic, and the story that they told, like, it was already high octane. And yeah, other than one part, it was everything I wanted and more.
What was the one part you didn't like?
Oh, the Philadelphia street fight.
You mean the gin and juice presents the Philadelphia street fight?
Oh, wait, that, okay. Now that you, okay, the match itself wasn't great. The commentary put Snoop on every match.
Right. Oh, no, 100%.
Or WrestleMania.
It was so ridiculous. Like the more he sat there, I just, like, whether what he said was funny or not, I was just laughing at, like, how he was just making everything more and more ridiculous as he went on.
Yeah.
It was great. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not trying to crap on WrestleMania. I night two didn't have the juice for me. It didn't have the juice.
Night two had the gin and juice for me.
See, it did not for me. I very much so enjoyed the opening match. Seth and Drew was great.
Oh my gosh.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
The cash-in, I think me and Ace talked about it the night before, that we figured there'd be a cash-in. They did it opposite of what I thought they were going to do. Mm-hmm. I thought Punk would screw Drew in the regular match, and then Damian would cash in on Seth. But either way, it still had the same last result of Punk screwing Drew and then Damian cashing in.
Yeah, well, I think it also gave Seth a very cathartic moment. This weekend, if, like, Seth losing the title, like, without any shenanigans,
him doing the little thing where he was like, "You deserve this."
Yeah,
that was top tier.
Yeah, but I thought that was good. And then after that, I thought even the good matches just seemed okay to me. Because so you had the street fight, you had Bayley EO.
You, was great.
That was honestly my, like, the best women's match this weekend.
Yeah. I liked Becky Rhea better.
What? Did we watch the same WrestleMania?
We did.
Did you get like the Swedish stream or something? Not to bash Sweden or anything.
I am not saying the Becky EO match was not good. I am saying that I liked Rhea Becky better.
Oh, Motionless and White, that entrance. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. That was
one of the cooler entrances of
that Mania. Was the, honestly, Motionless and White, like, that's on tier with Living Color doing Punk's entrance. Like,
I agree.
They were great.
I agree. But yeah, let's see, there's I'm trying to compare the two cards. There's that. I prefer the Intercontinental title match to the U.S. title match.
100%, but that's mainly because of who was involved.
That's true. Even though, I will say this, even though I knew, I'm like, okay, it's a triple threat. Whenever Logan Paul finally loses that title, it won't be in a triple threat. After they did the Sammy KO moment in night one, when KO was going out and Sammy was there, I was like, oh, holy crap, is KO about to win? Like, they did a good job of putting doubt in your head of like,
as much as I had voted against Logan Paul, like, I had this feeling in the back of my head that it was probably going to still be going to Logan Paul because it was a triple threat scenario where, like, they knock out Logan quickly and then they kind of fight and then he literally comes and steals, which is exactly what happened.
So. Yeah. But yeah, I think Sammy was, the right person, since I'm just bouncing around, but, in talking about those two matches, I think Sammy was the right person to beat Gunther.
Yeah.
Or, well, I wouldn't say the right person, but one of the names that I would say is good. I think that match was amazing.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they let Sammy bring out the Brainbuster to beat Gunther, like, that match to me was top tier. I'm not saying it's the match of the weekend, but it's one of my top matches of WrestleMania weekend.
Right.
I thought that that one was phenomenal. I thought the triple threat match was good. It felt to me like every time it was getting going, something happened, and not necessarily slowed it down, but it felt like the momentum kept getting off in that match for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked night one better. I liked night one better.
Okay, what did you not like about night one?
You mean about night one?
Yeah, like if you were gonna nitpick,
the women tag match. I liked a lot about it, but if I'm going to pick two matches, that it's like these two matches were the matches, you know, it'd be the women's six woman tag match. It was good, but not great. I'm sorry. I'm replaying the entire card so that I'm not forgetting something. Let's see, it was tag ladder match, that match. I thought the men's tag ladder match was good, but just felt like all the normal spots you see in a ladder match.
I mean, did you expect anything different? Like.
It was, I mean, it was a ladder match. It was good.
A ladder match.
It's WrestleMania, so yeah, I expected them to do something.
Heavy pointing, like, I don't want to say point out, but like it happened. Those fiberglass ladders of theirs.
Oh yeah.
Dude, that's the thing, is like there were actual spots in the match that were good. The most holy crap moment of that match is when Miz ran up the ladder and didn't realize that ladder was about to break.
Yeah, that was a little freaky.
It was fun. It added to it, so I was happy.
Oh no, it was an awesome moment because like all of us watching it was like, holy, like yeah. I was really legit worried that Miz was about to fall if the ladder broke and maybe land on a broken piece of something, you know, like it added a lot to it, like,
right,
with not meaning to.
Right.
But Ron, you said you didn't like night one, sorry, not that you didn't like it, but you liked it less. So what were the matches you liked the least?
I am surprised that you didn't bring up Jay versus Jimmy.
Oh crap!
That was the worst match this weekend.
Yeah, never
mind. And you didn't bring it up.
You want to know why? You want to know why?
Because it was forgettable.
I blocked that from my mind. It is forgettable for so many reasons. It wasn't a good match. It's hands down the worst brother versus brother match. I think having Jay win was the wrong booking decision. I think the match, like, yeah, everything about that was, yeah, you're right. That was better than the ladder match. I was trying to think of other matches in night one. Yeah, that was by far the worst.
So you've given me three reasons to not like night one, and I only had one reason to not like night one.
Well, I had to like.
Is night one really the best night? The best night of both nights, Jake?
Yeah, it is. You asked me what was the worst part of it, so I had to fight to think of stuff.
Fair.
Yeah. You didn't say like what was the best parts. You said what was the worst. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess the women's match wasn't that
okay.
Great,
but, yeah. So you didn't like the ladder match.
Isn't that I didn't like it. I thought that it was almost like a copy paste ladder match, you know, like it was a ladder match. That is about what I can say about it.
I would like to think that there was a different dynamic with this ladder match because the fact that the titles could have been split. Now, I didn't anticipate the first belts. The SmackDown tag team championships were going to be won by Grayson and Austin. I didn't like it. but it happened. And I was like, oh man, so that means they're really going to be fighting for this Raw championship that's there. And I was going through my head. I was like, who's ready to take that helm? And at first I thought New Day was going to do it. And then there was a part of me, and I picked DIY to pick, to take everything. But
yeah, I'm here.
But seeing like Miz and R-Truth, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to give R-Truth their flowers right here. And I completely missed it. And they ended up doing it. And I loved it.
I just wish that WWE would have told us that that's what this match was ahead of time.
They did.
No, they didn't. Because on the SmackDown, the night before WrestleMania, Michael Cole, during a tag match on commentary, says this Sunday on Mania, it's a six-team tag match where the winner must retrieve both belts. They kept saying the winner must retrieve both sets of belts. And then they get there and they're like, you can retrieve either set of belt. And it's like, okay, why didn't you set that up earlier? Why didn't you say to win you have to get one of the two sets of belts?
I mean, when I created my pick'em for the gimmick type, I typed in, and this was like what, Tuesday or
even before SmackDown.
Yeah, I typed in tag team championship in parentheses can split. They've made it clear that the tag titles could split.
Not on commentary. They've been saying the whole
time.
That's
your first problem, is you're taking the word of commentary.
Well, commentary is it is the way the company gives us the information. So that's the only way I can. I can't sit there and look at that match and go, oh, you know what? I bet they can split the titles. Because, cool, I can fantasy book that all day long. But until they say the way to win the match is to grab one of these sets of titles, then the belts can't be split. It can't be split until they speak those words. And the fact that they didn't speak those words until Mania, I thought was a disservice, because it would have been a better hype to the match with, like, people from SmackDown being like, all I have to do is grab one of those, and stuff like you could have hyped this up so much better with the fact that Damian and them could have been like, no, we're so dominant, we're going to keep both sets of belts and stuff. And other people being like, all I have to do is get one set, it would be a total different build to the match if they actually would have told us what the match was.
So do you still like night one over night two?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
No, I'm not crapping on the match. I'm crapping on the build. That's different. Like some of these matches had okay builds, but were good matches. But yeah, no, I still do. The tag main event is excellent. I like Rhea Becky better. The Intercontinental title match was a freaking banger. Night one.
How did y'all like the fact that they gave the main event 45 minutes?
I was fine with it.
I mean, it's The Rock. Like, 20 of those minutes was him telling the ref what to do.
I loved that. I loved that, by the way.
I did too. Because
he's like, you count and you're effing fired.
Yeah. Well, it would have been such an easy out to, during the build for this match, for The Rock to be like, oh, I'm on the board, so we can do whatever we want. But if y'all cheat, you're disqualified. That would have been such an easy, cheap out. But the fact that in the middle of the match, you have The Rock scream at the ref like, you don't count. Like, I'm going to fire you. Like, oh, don't do this, don't do that. Like, it was great. It was great little storytelling of, hey, he has control in this company and he is using it.
I loved it.
I did too.
The main event match of night one was fantastic. It was everything that it needed to be and more.
I agree. I thought the ending was spectacular. The way Cody, two crossroads, about to do the third one, goes back to the same corner that he got spiked last year, gets whipped, speared, and then you have the shot of him looking dejected as Roman's leaving with the belt again. Like, it was great. It was great. The fact that they fought all around the arena and on the stage and stuff, you don't see that a lot at Mania anymore. That was great. I thought it was a great, great match. Cody rock bottoming The Rock through a table. Like, great spots, great match, great storytelling.
Right. It was beautiful. And let's also like shout out to Seth Rollins too. Like he pulled his weight and then some, and it also like, gosh, I'm going to be talking about Seth Rollins a lot, maybe like today, but yeah, like Rollins's story in all of this was perfect. His role that he played this weekend was perfect, bar none. Trips Cooks.
Yes.
Dude, Trips did, like Trips gave us a six course meal and then still gave us dessert.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the end of the Bloodline match, I sat there, I was like, they might not pull the trigger on Cody. Because like there was that small stipulation that people barely talked about, that if he lost to Roman again, he would not be able to challenge Roman for that title ever again. So I was like, okay, this may be a thing if they want to really build up Reigns Rock, that this was all just like a beautiful, fantastic story that still needs to be played out. But night two, everyone.
To starting off with the heavyweight title, which surprised me, but given what they did, not exactly. Like I thought it was very okay. I thought it was very cool that he started with the Claymore kick right out the gate, but then I remembered that's not actually my favorite part of the match. My favorite part was actually pre-match when he was tweeting during Seth's entrance.
I thought that was during the match.
Yeah, no, that was during the match.
Because that was the match?
Bored at work, LOL.
I thought that was like during the entrance.
No, no, no. He did it mid-match.
Yeah. Okay, he went over to his wife or whatever, grabbed the phone and tweeted. Yeah, oh yeah, no, it was great.
And then the follow-up one, though, like 2 hours later.
Oh, Bad Bunny. Oh, my God, Bad Bunny. He's like, I hope you had a good shift. But the way CM Punk played into that match, or post-match, we would say, perfect.
Oh, dude. Perfect
way to pull all of that off.
The classic, yeah. Like, I'm not really as hurt as I intended to be, and just started beating up on him. And then when he blew the kiss, and that was the exact moment that Damian Priest came down.
Yeah. Poetry in motion, man. Poetry in motion.
Beautiful, like, moment in execution.
Wrestling is better than everything else that you like.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing is your guy can lose. Like, you know, they gave Drew McIntyre his big moment. And then he lost.
Yeah, I mean, with that Money in the Bank, like, still in effect, he probably should have won the title and then got the heck out of the ring.
Gotten out of there, but he was like, no, I have to taunt CM Punk.
Focus. That focus is a big thing. It is a big part of night two.
I said,
focus.
You know, he made the thing that said, what was it? He made the comment like, hold on, get a picture of this. I want this framed.
Yeah. It was all about focus. And Drew took his eye off the ball and
things happened. CM Punk to give him a framed photo of like him sitting in the ring with Damian Priest on.
Doesn't CM Punk have a new shirt that has his face pointing at the grave?
It's him pointing at the grave. I think it's a picture of like Drew's face on the tombstone, and it says "World Champion," and it says like year, like April 6th to April 6th or whatever.
Yeah, I love that.
Did he like tweet that, or like where was that? I want to see this.
He Punk tweeted it, but I think somewhere in the tweet, like he did the little scratching chin emoji, like should this become a shirt, you know?
WWEshop.com.
Yeah, you know it will be. Probably already.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, no, that was a great opening match. Great everything. Great match. Great, like you said, the Punk thing timed perfectly. Priest cashing in. It was great.
Let's see. Philadelphia Street Fight. Snoop saved it. Snoop saved it.
Snoop saved the Philly Street Fight 110%. As he was commenting, I was like, I know it would spoil us, like, if we just got it constantly. I want it constantly.
Yeah. No, like,
it was just, hey, what's he doing? Why is he doing that?
I was sitting there. I was like watching it, and I was like, okay, this is just going to be like, they didn't start off on the street. I thought it was going to be some big thing. And then you started hearing Snoop chime in more and more and more. I was like, I am completely invested in this street fight now. It was beautiful. The LA Knight versus AJ Styles with I call her Miss Slim Jim, being surprised with the car. It was cool. Right. It was cool. This was honestly, I would say, my favorite AJ Styles WrestleMania match.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Ron, we're about to fight. I disagree wholeheartedly.
No?
I think his match with Shane was better. I think his match with Jericho was better.
AJ and Jericho was horrible.
Oh, wait, never mind. No, AJ and Jericho's better match was at Backlash, not Mania. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I take that back. I'm not going to count the Boneyard match because that wasn't
that doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Good match. Good thing, but yeah.
No. Yeah. Maybe his second best match, because I thought him and Shane has been his best match. It was better than Nakamura. I will give that. And I will give LA Knight. LA Knight did a bunch of... he pulled out some stuff that I haven't seen him do since the TNA days. Mm-hmm. LA Knight definitely pulled out some stuff. I don't think it was AJ's best match, but I do think it was a darn good match.
Yeah, no, loved it. I really liked this match. It was, you know, it was great for what it was. Like, you had that personal build. They didn't wait for the bell, just swanging.
Yep.
Great.
It wasn't anything spectacular, but it did what it was supposed to do.
Right.
I would agree with that.
That was a better blood feud than the actual blood feud from night one.
Agreed.
So, yeah. And then the triple threat, it was a fun, for me, it was a fun match.
It was fun
just Kevin and Randy's, just everything Kevin and Randy was beautiful. I loved it. I laughed.
I love that Kevin came down in the cart, and then when
he backed up,
he was like, hold on, I got you, dog.
Kevin Owens is one of those guys. Y'all know this since we started the podcast. I love Kevin Owens, and he is one of those guys that I think can do no wrong in WWE. Like, good guy, bad guy, middle of the card, main event, opening match, no matter what, like, his stuff rarely is bad.
Kevin is the only one in all of wrestling that knows that wrestling is predetermined and characters are not characters. They're being played by people. And the fact that he plays it so well is fantastic.
Yes, it's great. It's great.
I love the part where Kevin or I think Randy accidentally gets Kevin. And so, like, both of them were just like, okay, so are we doing this now? And they were, like, going back and forth, and it's like, okay, maybe we're doing this now. And then they both start fighting because essentially it was like a 2-on-1 versus Logan Paul, which as it should be. But then you had that one mess up and it's like, okay, so you literally heard the words. So I guess we're doing this now.
Yeah. I do think that, it was inevitable that they would like have to go at it.
Yeah.
But I also love that they put that off as long as possible to just like, you know what, let's just beat up Logan.
Oh, Randy stiffing what's his I show speed,
yeah.
Dude, when Randy stiffed him, I was like, oh wow, that's so cool.
Knocked his top off.
Not only that, but he Spartan kicked the dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then he was very stiff with his RKO too.
He was probably like, this man did not just bark at me.
Yeah. It just drops him.
He was just like, I ain't putting up with that. I ain't doing this.
I did
love his show Speed tweeting afterwards, like, man, this wrestling stuff real.
Of course it is. Oh my gosh.
It's just the idea of him just going,
yeah,
man, I was wrong, bro.
You watch KSI get his ass beat?
I was very sad that it wasn't like KSI again.
Yeah.
They should have had that consistency.
I mean, they just got some other YouTuber or whatnot. Side note, I'm excited for the new Cody Rhodes flavor, Prime Energy.
You would?
Yeah, no, like literally I have, what, 12, 13, I don't know what the flavor is, but I just know that there's going to be a Cody Rhodes drink and I'm getting it.
Oh, sidebar, for just WrestleMania stuff that I didn't know. So I had a buddy that went to WrestleMania this year. Oh. And you saw the Prime Refresh Station, you know?
Yeah, the cart. I was so worried about the cart all weekend.
I bet you were wrong.
I screamed every time.
You saw on the cart how they had those green bottles with the WrestleMania symbol of Prime?
Yeah.
Apparently, when you were leaving the stadium, they were just handing those out for free.
Oh, so there's a Prime bottle that I don't have now.
Yes, so you have to pay $400 on eBay.
Oh, gosh, heck.
And then the C4 had a special like WWE can, and they were just handing out the C4 new flavor as well. So I thought that was really cool. I've never, to my knowledge, known them to do anything like that at Mania. And I think that is a very smart way with your sponsors to be like, hey, hand out your stuff, have special packaging, and now you have thousands of people to try your product.
Yeah.
I thought that was on WWE and Prime and C4. I thought that was great marketing and something really cool that, like, you can give somebody a souvenir to where if they don't want to drink it, they have the thing. If they do want to drink it, they can keep the bottle or can if they want to.
Yeah. No, if any of y'all don't want your Philadelphia Prime, please mail it to me. You could drink out of it all you want. Just give me the bottle, please.
I think my friend only got one, but I will text him, and if he got two, he may be willing to part with it.
Oh my gosh, that'd be brilliant.
I'll try to see if I can hook you up, buddy.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah.
What else are we into? Okay, so there's what else in night two?
We have Io Sky versus female Seto Kaiba.
Yes. Yeah. That happened. Like I said, I really liked the match. I thought it was a really good match. I just enjoyed Rhea Becky more.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you disagree with that, and that's fine. Listen, I don't think either match was bad.
I think both of us are just real nitpicky about those two matches.
Yeah, I think that's very on the nose there. I think you probably found more nitpicky flaws with the first one, and I did that with the second.
Right. So, yeah. Either way, we both win because we're both entertained. Professionally wrestled.
They both were good. I have a question because I realize that my answer may change based on this.
Okay.
Rey Mysterio, Dominic, Escobar, Andrade tag match. What night was that on?
Night one.
Because we watched it because there was multiple times where I was like,
yeah,
he's not the legal man. There was like a couple of moments where I was like, wait, why is this okay? He's not the legal man.
Okay, you know what, Ron? I can see that night two may have been better.
What?
I can see that night two may have been better. Because I, for some reason, had that tag match on night two. And in my mind, and now thinking about some of just the matches that were just okay, kind of just their fun matches, night one had 7 matches, and probably 3 of them were just kind of okay, just there to entertain you matches.
Yeah.
And then night two had 6 matches, and probably more of them had bigger stakes, bigger matches. Okay. Yeah, I may concede that night two was better. I got a few of the matches swapped in my head of what was on what.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to give you a hard time about it.
I concede.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for not flinching.
No,
and sticking to your laurels.
Yeah, sure.
But You know who else didn't flinch?
Would that be Codeth Reynolds Rhodes?
Wait, hold up. Who? Oh, I am looking at the sheet right now. Someone omitted my entire name for Cody and just put Cody.
No. I want to know about that too, because when I went to go add the greens, I saw where you added the big one. So I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, he did his typical thing. So I just made it green. I don't know when it switched back to like just Cody.
Because I was going
to. I remember your big long one.
I'm going to read that. Okay, hold on. I'm going to find
it. I was like, typical.
Here we go.
Really long one.
I was about to say, because I didn't even see your name, let alone change it. So I don't even know what this is.
Okay. So it happened last night around 11:25 p.m. All anonymous users. So whatever happened. But okay.
That's odd, because I'm logged into everything.
I think for this one, I don't know. I just know that if it was me, it would show up as Quick Pop. Okay. So I am talking about the American roller coaster, dashingly stardust genius, grandson of a plumber, gosh dang, undesirable to uneffing deniable, the kingdom king, god emperor of dude, Cody Rowe. And I stopped.
That was beautiful.
But yeah, no, Cody did not flinch. Cody finished the story.
I want to ask y'all both this before we move forward. As a whole, what did you think of the match?
It was definitely the most produced match of the evening, but it gave me this, and it was going to be this huge wave of nostalgia. And then on top of that, the third story, or I would say the second story that they, or no, the third story that they told was possibly the most pivotal story that they told. So it made me appreciate it a whole heck of a lot more.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons why I initially was saying night one is I think the night one main event is a better match. But night two has everything you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think like Cody Roman one is a better match.
Thank you. I think the same thing.
Yes, I think that is the better match. Because here's the thing is, I've been saying this to one of my buddies for a while, is I felt for the longest time.
The only thing that really boosts Roman Cody two was everything coming at the end.
In what, like, what do you mean? Like, was there a specific part that you liked more than the others?
Well, yeah, like everything that came at the end.
Right. Which of the big end things?
Everything
popped you the most.
Everything. It was like a gradual, like, pop after pop after pop after pop.
I mean, like, I think the thing I read the most was they were like, if the last 5 minutes are any indication of what it's like to be on cocaine, I might have to start doing drugs.
Yeah.
I think the Shield part popped me the most.
Okay. Maybe I was by myself. I don't think so based off reading Twitter. But when Shield popped, I was like, how much money did they give Moxley?
Oh, I knew Moxley wouldn't be there. However, I will say, when that music hit, I turned to my wife and went like, it's not going to happen. But this crowd will go nuclear if Moxley jumps out of that crowd in that suit. Yes. Like, I was like, it's not going to happen, but they will. They would, like,
that's what everyone. I'm saying. Like, my initial reaction was like, nah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then they didn't show anything for a while. So you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the internet. If Moxley would have even just waved at a camera, the internet would have exploded.
Oh, yeah. if they just had him live from satellite, just.
But I, like I was saying earlier with Ron, it's like I thought that this was, or the other one was a better match.
This was a better story, though, just because of literally everything that happened at the end.
Well, yeah, the ending, it's just, it's literally, it was all of Roman's demons coming back to haunt him.
Yeah, that was the thing. Everyone was hoping for Stone Cold. Would I love Stone Cold? Sure thing. But everyone was going like, it doesn't make sense for Undertaker. What?
It does. Roman retired him.
Yeah.
Well, Roman pseudo retired him at Mania.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you even...
The only reason... So the spot with Cena, Rock staring down, that's the only reason I thought it would maybe Austin, is because Austin could come down and not necessarily do anything to Roman, but Austin's there for the Rock, right? So it's like, as you have all of these ghosts of Roman's past popping up to stop Roman, the ghost of Rock's past comes out. So that's the only reason I thought it might be Austin. But the second Undertaker's bell dong, I was like, Undertaker, why Oh, yeah, never mind. WrestleMania 32, I think it was.
Yeah, the ultimate thrill ride.
Yeah, thrill ride. But, no, like, I thought all of that was great. And as you've been talking, Ron, about Rollins working all of this and everything.
Yeah.
I think the storytelling of the second you heard the Shield was some of the best storytelling in this match.
Hands down.
Rollin comes in the suit, almost hits Rock with a chair. Roman stops him, thus saving a member of his family from his same fate, gets the chair, and looks at Cody and would rather finally have his revenge on Rollins hitting him with the chair than win the match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful.
Focus.
Yeah. And the other great thing is when Seth first joined this whole thing and joined Cody, he told Cody, he's like, if you will trust me, I will be your shield. Mm-hmm. And Seth knew if he got in that ring with that attire, with a cheer, Roman could not focus on anything else but him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did exactly what he said he was going to do for Cody. Roman had that mental defeat because Seth defeats him mentally. Cody defeats him physically.
Right.
And it's great. Someone
likened this. I don't know how familiar you are with Dragon Ball, Jake, but in the fight versus Cell, it was Gohan, the son of Goku, versus Cell, the big bad of this arc. And and Gohan was almost down and out with his final Kamehameha. And then he has the voice of his father in his head, who just previously died like a few episodes ago. And he is trying to muster up all the courage to absolutely get rid of Cell. And all of a sudden, Vegeta out of nowhere just provides enough distraction so Gohan could land the final blow. Seth Rollins is Vegeta. I love it. And also, if you really focus on Seth Rollins, he just had, like, this whole thing, and you could piece it however you want, but a 10-year story was told with Seth that culminated last night.
Yeah, about him and Roman and the Shield and
right,
all of that.
Yeah, and even like more so, like with all the characters that he played, like the Visionary, the Messiah, all of that. They all had, even the Slayer. Like he did all that for himself. He basked in that. He wanted the gold because of selfish reasons. But on night one, he wasn't selfish. He gave it his all. And night two, that was him coming to terms with, you know, maybe I am the good guy. And he gave everything to make sure that the bloodline was dismantled. So like the Avengers, this was the one timeline.
Yeah. I also was thinking about Roman, right?
Yeah.
I think Roman may be one of the most well thought out, well put together characters in wrestling, because I was thinking of not just this Bloodline storyline, but the whole thing. So via storyline, we created the Tribal Chief as fans.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this the other day after Mania, is that Roman tried to be the hero, tried to get over, and never could. And when he came back with Heyman was when there was no fans. So what did he do? Since there was no fans to boo him, he told us he was the greatest thing ever. And then the second that they got fans back, what did he start saying? Acknowledge me. Mm-hmm. Because Roman this whole time has done everything because it was like, you never respected how good I was, so I had to show you. You still wouldn't respect me, so now I have to destroy everything you love so you will acknowledge how good I am. And then you parlay that into this Bloodline and into him bringing his family into the fold and all of the mob boss stuff he's been doing leading to that. Like, dude, this character is so, so, so good.
Yeah, no, we were spoiled yeah. On the last WrestleMania match. We had characters from the past, and we had like icons of now. Like Roman and Cody yeah. needed to happen.
Yeah,
this is brilliant.
And the crazy thing is, then coming out of Mania, you have Cena doing interviews saying that, like, he may ask Hollywood if they could tap the brakes so he can have one more run. You have The Rock basically saying in an interview, you know, like, oh, the things we can do, like, moving forward, like, as if, like, I mean, I don't think The Rock's going to be here every week, but, like, The Rock is going to probably start popping in and out and stuff at big events.
Let's give The Rock his credit. I thought that he was going to be blown up. 5 minutes into the match, he went on a 45-minute banger.
If what the rumors are true is that they are, for SummerSlam, either going to do Roman Cody 3 or Cody versus The Rock, and that we're going to get a slow one-year build to Roman Rock at 41, I will say this. I'm a lot more excited about the potential for a Roman Rock match now than I was. And I don't just mean because of Cody. Like, take Cody winning the Rumble out of the equation.
Yeah.
I would have been as excited because, like you just said, I'm like, dude, can he go for, like, a 25, 30-minute match, you know?
Right.
Like, I understand it was a tag match, so Roman was able to, you know, take some of the brunt off Rock and let him rest a little bit. But, dude, when he was in there and the stuff he was doing – he was going, man. He was going. He got it, not just physical shit. He got his conditioning in.
Yeah. It wasn't The Rock that we saw once in a lifetime and twice in a lifetime. Like, we got...
maybe even thrice in a lifetime.
We got icon versus icon Rock.
I kind of agree with that because he looked... In that run, he looked... The first time he faced Cena, he looked pretty good. The second time, I felt like he seemed more blown up. And his two matches against Punk, it's at parts it seemed he needed to take a break. At parts it seemed he was good. But you're right, man. Like, there was no part of that match where I was like, ooh, Rock's feeling it. You know, like,
yeah,
there was no part of the match other than, like, parts where, like, he gets rock bottom through a table and it's like, well, you're supposed to be down because this thing just happened to you.
Right.
But no, like, you're right, man. Like, that is the best he's looked in a while. And if you're telling me that dude may be popping in and out for matches, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. This is great.
Like,
great weekend. Great weekend.
Absolutely. Great weekend. And the future, Leia just said, with Cena and The Rock, is Triple H is talking about 5 years from now, you'll still have the same spirit of this company, but they'll be doing a lot more new stuff. Like, there is, with WWE, a lot to be excited about moving forward with how they're going to be telling stories, who they're pushing, what people may be involved with, you know, other people in matches and stuff. Like, there's a lot to be excited about moving forward.
There's a lot of substance in the Triple H era, which has now, I guess, officially been dubbed the Triple H era.
Yes. I still like that Cody called it the Renaissance era.
I love that, too.
I do too. I'm going to be honest. I'll probably call it the Renaissance era, but it is. Hey, whatever it's called,
we're all excited for it.
Yeah. Yes. It is a very exciting time with wrestling.
But I guess that's the show.
Well, I have one more question.
Yeah. What's up?
Do you think Roman hangs it up?
No.
Where does he go from here?
He takes a well-deserved break, allows people to like stew and everything, and then he comes back trying to gain his former glory, but now it's in a bloodline that's kind of moved on from him.
Yes. I think he will come back SummerSlam or Survivor Series. I think that's kind of the long break you were referring to, Ron.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you come back and like maybe The Rock has popped in and out more than him, and like kind of The Rock's running the bloodline. And when he comes back, The Rock's kind of like, well, you don't have a title. What are you weren't here. What are you running? I do movies. I've been beating people up. Like, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, there's so many ways to do it. But I do think when he comes back, we are working to make Roman a face.
Yep.
I mean, I agree. Like, I don't think he was done. There was just there's a lot of rumor talk that he was like, you know, I think it was based off the fact that during the press conference for night one, he actually had like a real moment there for a moment, because somebody asked him like how he was doing, because he was still battling leukemia, and he like dropped the facade for a moment and like told them like that he was still like on oral medication for it, and you know
he's probably going to be taking it for the rest of his life. Yeah
And so, you know, everyone was like, oh, is this where he like finally like, you know, calls it and just focuses on that? Like,
I think also hearing like years down the line, we are going to find out that the reason he, more so than Brock Lesnar, did the, you know, one title defense, 3 months later another title defense, is because he is still dealing with this. Yeah. And that he does need time off, and he physically can't work a full schedule. And I think it's going to be one of those things that, like, when you find out what he's been dealing with, what he's been going through, just to put on these banger matches for us, it's going to be like, oh, he's the guy. And people are giving him credit, but, you know, we didn't give him the credit at the time, because we were just like, oh, why isn't he here every week? And it's like, yeah, he's been dealing with cancer, guys.
Yeah.
I like wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling is better than anything anyone else likes right now.
Everyone go watch.
When it's good, it's great.
Everyone go watch the Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
It just took like half an hour for them to do the opening segment.
Good.
Nice.
Then the Raw after Mania.
Like, I think I say half an hour. It's probably more like 45 minutes. Like,
yeah, Maxwell Jacob Friedman debuted.
Well, let's not get ahead of it.
Yeah, and the Shield did get back together tonight. Seth Rollins went and kissed Roman and said, I'm sorry. And then Ambrose just showed up.
Yeah. He's like, where are y'all been?
Here in the next segment, Tony Khan is going to bump, tweet, repeat, and then show up on Raw, and him and Triple H are going to have a showdown.
Yeah. Yeah. We're building up already to Quick Papa Mania 8.
Oh, no. No. Go watch Raw right now.
What?
The first match is kicking off, like first proper match.
Uh-huh.
It's Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dragunov.
Oh, Dragunov, nice. Love it.
Like, coming in as NXT champion and everything.
Nice, I love that.
Yes, go watch Raw right now.
All right, so that's the show. That is the show, welcome everyone.
Welcome to season 7. I know it's it was heavy on the Mania, but you know what? Every single season premiere is always heavy on the Mania because it's our anniversary, and so you know, of course, we got to give it its due, and it's 2 nights, so it's even more we have to give it its due nowadays. Remember the old days? It'd just be one night, and we just have to run it down and be like, man, what a night! And then now we've had to like break it into two.
And this one is well needed. Like it's packaged in a way you could still digest WrestleMania and still digest one episode of the Quick Pop Podcast. Now stay tuned for next week, where I decide to release footage backstage from Quick Pop-a-Mania 5.
I thought we were going past that. You know what? You know what? I'm looking to that.
Yeah, it's not a troll.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Take it easy, everyone. And remember,
spay your kids, water your pets. Welcome to the Quick Pop Podcast.
Neuter your car every 3 to 6 months or 50,000 kilometers.
Happy Eclipse Day.
Happy Eclipse Day. Go out and stare at the moon. It's a lot safer now than staring at the sun.
Yeah, a total eclipse in the day of our Lord Cody Rhodes. Totally. But did you see the eclipse, though? Yeah, like, wait, are y'all in, like, the totality of it?
I was fine until the guy next to me started ripping up his clothes and put them on it.
Make sure that you're following us on all of our social medias, including Twitter at Quick Pop Cast, Facebook at The Quick Pop Podcast, and Instagram as well at The Quick Pop Podcast. Any of those are great ways to reach out to the host of the show, and we'd love to talk to you as well. We are constantly speaking on current events and would love to hear your opinions on stuff too. So get in touch with us today.